Good morning. Our gospel reading today is really the story of two resurrections. Two resurrections to life. On the way to raise from the dead the daughter of Jairus, Jesus stopped on the way to raise to life a woman who had no life. Because in that society, anyone who had a flow of blood, who had issues with bleeding, was considered an outcast, could not be touched, could not mingle with people. That's why she was silent and she went behind Jesus, hiding from sight, hoping that no one would notice her. She was in essence like a leper, an untouchable. And for 12 years she was like this. So she had no life. There were a lot of taboos, a lot of superstitions about blood in those days. And she was a victim of those taboos. And Jesus not only erased the taboos, but gave her life. So that's why I'm saying on his way to raise from the dead, to resurrect a young child, he resurrected to life another woman. And I think that's generally how God does it. You know, people question, well, why did God allow that person to die? Why didn't God intervene? Why didn't God perform a miracle? Why didn't God heal my child or my spouse? Why? Well, we are not here on earth to live forever. Some of us live to a ripe old age. Some of us die in middle age. Others die in young age, even child age. Miracles are signs. Miracles are reminders. They're not necessarily the everyday doings of God. God is on the way to resurrection. Jesus is on the way to resurrection, the resurrection that he has promised to all. And on the way, every once in a while, he pauses to perform a miracle. But more often, and more importantly, on the way to the resurrection, he pauses to give life, to give meaning, new life to people who have lost it, to people who are lost, to people who are outcasts, who are untouchables, who are rejects, who are in their own eyes failures. And we all know that the world is full of people. Maybe all of us at one time or another have felt in one or many of those categories. And that's the mystery of our existence in Christ. It's not a question of miracles. Yes, miracles do happen. People do look for miracles, pray for miracles. But the real issue of life is to live life, to live life to the fullest. You know, Jesus was not a life-denying ascetic like the monks are trying to make him, like some of our icons turn him into. He was a life-affirming, life-enjoying, fully human in every way. And he came to show us also the way how to live life fully, to be compassionate to each other, merciful, loving, understanding, accepting, open, inviting, embracing, loving God, believing, that there is more to life than just food and drink and money. And that is the resurrection that Christ offers on the way to the resurrection. And we all need to experience it. And we all need a miracle in our life like this woman experienced. Not so much the ceasing of the blood flow, which was important enough, but more importantly, that Jesus gave her a voice again, that she was able to speak again in public, in front of people. She was free from the bounds and the chains that society had placed upon her. And that, dear friends, is a miracle. And that is a miracle that we all can experience. You know, I really would like to just take a few minutes and tell you about my own experience with this very saintly man in Greece, whom I had experienced 3 years ago when I had gone for the funeral of my mother. And I experienced him again this time when I went for the 3-year memorial of my mother. So after we did the service in the church, the mnemosyno in the church, Madeline and I and my aunt Theodora, we went to the cemetery just to see the grave. And as we were going to the cemetery, I was hoping that I would see Father Michalis, this old, simple country priest with his long beard and his worn-out cassock and epitrachilion. Back in 2014, he took his own epitrachilion off of himself and he gave it to me so that I would perform the trisagion at my mother's grave. And at that time, I had brought with me my rasos. All I needed was the epitrachilion, which he took off of himself and gave to me. And that memory has always remained vivid in my mind. And so this time, I didn't bring any rasos. I didn't bring anything like that. I was just a free man in my just regular street clothes that I had worn to church that morning. But I wanted him to perform the trisagion, and on our way to the cemetery, I was hoping that he would be there, that I would find him. Sure enough, he was there at another grave. I waited for him to finish, and then I walked over and I said to him, come to my mother's grave so you can do the trisagion. He looked at me like he remembered. I took out my phone. I showed him a whole bunch of pictures that I had taken back in 2014 with himself and me at the grave. He remembered. He remembered that I was a priest. So he said to me, you're going to do the trisagion. No, I said, no, not today. You're doing it today. I'm not doing it today. I want you to do it. So we're walking to my mother's grave. And on the way, by the way, the epitrachilion is this, okay? So on the way to my mother's grave, of course, all sorts of women are coming up to him and wanting him to go to their graves and so on and so on. This is typical Greek scene at a cemetery. You just haven't lived unless you experience that kind of setting. You know, it's funny. But it's also very moving and very genuine. So all these people are coming up to him and wanting him to go to there, and he's saying, yeah, I will after I... And he's introducing me to them as Father Constantine from America. And there I am in my white shirt and regular pants. I don't look like anything like a priest. Okay, not a Greek priest anyway. And he's introducing me to as some of these women are coming up to me and wanting to kiss my hand and so on. And it's like... I pull back, you know, it's like, oh boy, what's going on here? And he says to me, what are you doing? What's the matter with you? They want to kiss your hand. You're a priest. I said, I don't look like a priest. You are a priest. You know, and it was like, it was just, an amazing experience. You know, we always think that these old priests in Greece, well, they're traditional, they're stuck in the past. And so he was more modern than I was. He was more open, more accepting, more liberated from old ways of thinking. And he's, what, 80, 85? I don't know how old he is. On the way, he stopped to show me how he, where his wife was buried, who had died earlier this year. And just a simple man, his hands brown with age and with the dirt that he's constantly touching in the graves and so on. His epitrachelion, old, not recently cleaned, and yet so loving, so compassionate, so open, so totally no problem with him. I was the one with the problems, not him. And we go to get to my mother's grave after stopping with all sorts of women coming up and whatever. So we get to my mother's grave. And he points to me like, I'm going to do it. I said, no, I don't. I'm not doing it. You're doing it today. So he starts doing the service. And as he's singing, he's almost like directing us with his hands so that I and Madeline and my Aunt Theodora would join with him in singing. He wasn't a solo act. He was a communal presence. Somebody who just made all of us feel present. And even though I had no epitrachelion, no vestment, nothing, no robe, at the end when he came to the concluding prayers, he insisted that I say those prayers. And I have to tell you something. That would never happen in the United States. Priests here are more stuck than this priest in my hometown, Patras. That would never happen in this country, I can assure you. So, in a sense, that man knows what it is to walk with Christ, knows what it is to give voice, to open to somebody else, to show love and compassion. And for me, for that, both in 2014 and this year, he represented to me the resurrecting power of Christ. That power is alive in him. Even though he cannot raise any of the dead from the graves where he ministers every day, because that's his work. He stays in the cemetery all day and just does trisagion at the various graves. It's a Greek thing, like I said. But a good Greek thing. He can't resurrect any of them. He can't command any of them to rise from their graves. But he can give joy and he can give hope and he can give love to the people who come to those graves. He can give them a voice. He can give them a participation, a sharing in the loving presence of Christ. And that for me is the essence of what I should be, what all of us should be, and what today's gospel reading is all about. It's not about miracles. It is about the miracles that take place on the way to that final miracle that is called the resurrection. The resurrection should happen here, every day, in our every encounter. How we represent Christ and how we are Christ to those around us. That, dear friends, is the miracle of resurrection, and it begins here. Amen.